Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone goes through trying times. The joy comes in the morning. And even when it seems hard to find, He gives us peace for you and me.
Be thankful for everything.
And in everything, count it all joy.
Of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Good morning, it's January 27th, 2024, and this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. You have now entered the Blog Talk Radio Zone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio 2024. Happy New Year. We are looking for a great move of God in this new year, 2024. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host on this morning, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And it's all about our worship today. So let's get right to it. Announcements. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And thank you to those who have sent in your donations in 2023. They are well appreciated. Expansion is coming in 2024. Continue to tune in for more information. If you're blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AmazinggraceMinisTries @gmail.com. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you this first month of 2024 at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and we have exciting lessons, so please tune in. If you want to connect to this lesson live, the link is http://tobtr.com/s/123-08950. Let's get into the explanation of our lesson. We have a word on today to captivate your mind, illuminate your heart, and to lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to great peace, a greater hope, and closer to Jesus. We are in this new year, and we are going to receive the miraculous in every area of our lives. We are looking for God to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Therefore, we must worship God and bless his holy name, because we will have a miraculous in 2024. The theme for this first month in the new year of January is preparing for the miraculous. The lesson for this last Saturday in January is worship is essential. I'm from John 4:23-25, and I'll be reading from the King James Version, and it reads, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Let's define worship. Worship is the feeling or expressions of reverence and adoration for a deity. It's also to show reverence and adoration for a deity to honor with religious rites. The context of worship essentials can refer to the fundamental elements that are necessary for a meaningful and fulfilling worship experience. These essentials can vary depending on the religion, denomination, or individual. For example, in Christianity, worship essentials might include prayer, singing hymns, reading scriptures, and taking communion. Worship can also be essential to the Christian life because it helps keep believers focused on God and eternity. In other religions, worship essentials might include meditation, chanting, or performing specific rituals. Worship is certainly a well-used word in the Bible, but is it really that significant? First, a little background. The word worship, praise, thanksgiving, sacrifice, an offering occurs over 1,500 times in the Bible. Those aren't all the words related to worship, but they indicate some of the frequency of the concept of worship in the Bible. Also, the largest book in the Bible is the Book of Psalms, a song book of worship. The Book of Revelation shows worship as a significant part of what is happening right now in heaven. Some of the times when people were killed by God was for improper worship. Example, when Aaron's two sons offered incense, when Uzziah touched the ark, when the people of Beth Shemesh looked into the ark, and when Ananias and Sapphira pretended to offer God everything. Saul lost his kingdom partly for making sacrifices he was not allowed to make. And Uzziah, the king, was made a person with leprosy for offering incense to God against God's law of worship. Worship, a pervasive attitude of reverence, adoration, and action expressed towards God. Worship suggests revering God through a humble posture, also serving him in daily activities. Although the form of worship may change, what remains constant is one's sincerity and authenticity within the heart. Listening to the word of God, sacrificial offerings, and prayers represent the essence of worship. Early in the Bible, we learn that men worshiped God with sacrifice. Cain brought an offering for which God had no regards or respect. That was Genesis 4:5. King Saul unlawfully offered a sacrifice in 1 Samuel 13. Later, he was told that to obey is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15:22. God had given instructions about how he was to be worshiped. He was pleased only with those people who did all that was commanded. Joshua 1:7, 1 Kings 11:38, Jeremiah 7:23. Jesus talked about how God did not accept the prayers of the Pharisees, Matthew 6 and 5, and also Luke 18, 10 through 14. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. True worship is vain worship. Any worship not ordained by God is vain worship because it originates with man. And in vain worship, they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men, Matthew 15 and 9. Our only assurance of practicing acceptable Christian worship is to disregard human-caused creeds and turn to God's word as our only authoritative guide to worship. The early church continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers, Acts 2 and 42. If we pattern our worship after the instructions given to the first century church, we can be confident that God will approve of our worship in the 21st century. Christian worship. Men under the law of Moses were to worship God on the Sabbath. This is Saturday, Exodus 20 and 8. And it reads, and I'm reading from the King James Version, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the New Testament, we find that the church assembled on the first day of the week, Sunday, to worship God. Acts 20 and 7, King James Version. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Christians have been instructed not to neglect assembling together because this is also an important time for fellowship and encouragement, Hebrews 10, 25. In regards to the worship service, the Apostle Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order, 1 Corinthians 14 and 10. On the other hand, after seeing so much use of words related to worship, Jesus didn't talk about worship much at all. One of the few times when he does discuss worship occurs in John 4. On his way to Galilee through Samaria, Jesus converses with a Samaritan and makes a profound statement about true worshipers. Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know truly little about one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 21 through 24, and that's the key version. Jesus emphasizes through repetitions that true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. To fully appreciate what the Lord is saying, we must understand the epic nature of the long-standing rift between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews disregarded these mixed-race Samaritans because of their impure lineage and syncretistic religion. Also, the Samaritans worshiped in a different physical location. It was on Mount Gerizim instead of at the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus declared that the time had come when it is no longer mattered whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Christ's first point is that the where of the worship has nothing to do with the integrity of worship. Neither the place nor the style of worship is relevant. The physical elements are not the primary concern. Second, Jesus indicated that true worshipers are not defined by their bloodline or race. The Father does not care if a person is a Jew, Samaritan, or Gentile. All true worshipers are one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 28, 3, 11, Romans 10 and 12. Galatians 3 and 28, and this is the King James Version, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. Colossians 3 and 11 says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bound nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Romans 10 and 12, for there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. True worship. What is true worship? The Apostle Paul describes true worship perfectly in Romans 12, 1 through 2. I urge you to therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable or well-pleasing and perfect. This passage containing all the elements of true worship. First, there is the motivation to worship, the mercies of God. God's mercies are everything. He has given us that we don't deserve eternal love, eternal grace, the Holy Spirit, everlasting peace, eternal joy, saving faith, comfort, strength, wisdom, hope, patience, kindness, honor, glory, righteousness, security, eternal life, forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, freedom, intercession, and much more. The knowledge and understanding of these incredible gifts motivate us to pour forth praise and thanksgiving, in other words, worship. True worshipers don't worship first and foremost in their bodies, but in spirit. The act of worship is not an outward expression or physical observance, but an inward attitude that acknowledges God's worthiness and honor him as the supreme authority over one's life. True worshipers demonstrate adoration for an audience of one. They don't bow down or lift their hands to be seen by others. They don't sing to be heard by humans. They don't fast or pray to earn worldly recognition. Matthew 6 and 6 and 18. Matthew 6 and 6 says, but when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And this is the New Living Translation. Matthew 6 and 18 read, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. True worshipers exalt God alone, for his pleasures only, because he alone is worthy. Exodus 34 and 14, and I'm in the New Living Translation. You must worship no other God, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. 1 Chronicles 16 and 25. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. They treasure God and long for his presence, Psalms 42, 1 and 2. For the choir director of Psalms of the Descendants of Korah, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Psalm 63 says, it is a psalm of David regarding the time when David was in the wilderness of Judah. And it reads, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Jesus stated that true worshipers are those who worship in truth, in honesty and sincerity of heart. They examine their hearts for hidden offenses, 1 Corinthians 11, 31 through 32. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Their devotion is pure, wholehearted, and costly, holding nothing back. Deuteronomy 6 and 5, 10, 12, 1 Samuel 12, 24, 2 Samuel 24 and 24, 1 Chronicles 21 and 24, Mark 12, 41 through 44, and I'm going to read 2 Samuel 24 and 24, and this is the New Living Translation. But the king replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing." So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. What is your worship going to cost you? The Bible reveals that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all truth. Jeremiah 10 and 10, Isaiah 65 and 16, John 14 and 6, and then 16 to 17, 1 John 5 and 20, Romans 15 and 8. Thus, true worshipers humbly center on the Godhead and not on self. 10 and 6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." John 16, 14 and 17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." God's word is also true, Psalms 119, 160. "That word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endureth forever." Ephesians 1 and 13, this is the King James Version. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Colossians 1 and 5. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of gospel." 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So true worshipers seek to grow in their knowledge of it and live by it. They follow scriptures, called to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, and that's Romans 12 and 1. They pursue holiness, obeying God's truth made known through his word. 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, and then 40, and 1 Chronicles 16, 37 through 42, and Michael 6, 6 through 8. Michael 6, 6 through 8, and the King James Version says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." True worshipers are believers born of the Spirit. John 3, 5 through 8, who worship God through salvation in Jesus Christ. They live and worship, not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the Spirit, because God's Spirit lives in them, and they belong to Jesus Christ, Romans 8 and 9. Only if we are in Christ with his Spirit in us can we genuinely worship in spirit and in truth. Instead of restricting our worship to raising hands and singing praise songs in church, we extend our God-centered devotions into every area of our lives. We worship in spirit and in truth as we walk in fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit and are transformed into the image and likeness of the Son, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. In conclusion, we use the word worship often, but sometimes we are at loss when we attempt to find it. Is worship an awareness? If it is, then we could define worship as something scholars do. Worship is the acknowledgement of the divine perfection. Is worship an attitude? If so, we could define worship as an appreciation of God's greatness. Is worship a feeling? If worship is a feeling, then perhaps worship is best defined in terms of a sense of God's presence or in terms of feeling close to God. Is worship an experience? It is an experience that some people speak of as getting to know God. Have you gotten to know God? Is worship saying something? If so, then all of the earlier ideas are either incorrect or incomplete. Is worship doing something? If so, then what must one do? Worship is expressing God's worth. What we say to God by our words or our action must spring from what we say to him silently, which in turn must spring from what we know to be true about him. There's a song that says, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Worship is personal. It's a communication, intimate communication between our God and the individual. It's personal because my experience is different from your experience. Some examples may be my child will be saved from getting hit by a train, or my child was on drugs, but God delivered him or her. God spared my life. God took my loved ones and left us here. But he, God, has given us the strength to move on. So in order for us to get the miraculous in 2024, we must take off our pretense and learn to worship God and give God everything that we have and requires sacrifice, that requires pushing back when we don't want to, that requires getting rid of the distractions, because we will achieve God's blessings in 2024. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace, God. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, allow us to just thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are, God, because truly you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. And we come to say thank you on this morning. Lord God, we just thank you for each and every listener that's listening on today, Lord God, on this blog. Lord God, we ask you to go where they is, Lord God. Touch them, Lord God, from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, allow them to know that you are with them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, teach us how to worship you, Lord God, and then allow us to worship you, Lord God, in spirit and in truth. Lord God, I'm asking you to bless each listener one by one, name by name, Lord God. And then look on my pastor today, Lord God, the administrative assistant superintendent, Dr. Byron L. Gibbs and Lady Gibbs, Lord God. And then look on my assistant pastor, the Elder Reginald Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, God. Lord God, look on Dr. Carey this morning, Lord God. Look on Mother Carey and Dad Carey this morning, Lord God. Look on Mother Norman today, Lord God. Continue to heal her body, Lord God. Look on all the mothers, Lord God. Mother Garnett this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. You know what you need, God. Do it for, Lord God, according to your will, Lord God. Then, Lord God, we ask you to go down in Texas, Lord God. Look on Sister Christine today, Lord God. You know what she need, Lord God. And Elder and Lady Martin on today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, go over to Indiana and see about Pat on today, Lord God. Then, Lord God, look on our children. Look on my children, Lord God. Look on David in Iowa today, Lord God. Look on Tanel, David and Titani, Lord God. Look on our grandchildren, our children's and their children and children's children, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, somebody prayed for us, and we want to be able to pray for others, God. Then, Lord God, look on the whole ministerial team, Lord God. Lord God, look on Minister Ellis today, Lord God. Look on Dad Ellis today, Lord God. Look on the choir members today, Lord God. Lord God, look on the whole household of faith, God. Oh, God, we actually look on Mother Esther Moore today, Lord God, and her husband, Lord God. Strengthen his body, God. Lord God, then we actually look on the bereaved, Lord God. Look on Administrative Assistant Taylor and his wife in the loss of their son, Lord God. Strengthen their bodies, Lord God. Strengthen the whole district on today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we actually to be in everything that we say and do. Go with us on today, Lord God. Hallelujah. For you said you would never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we believe you, Lord God, because your word is true. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Look on Mother Luckett today, God. Dr. Bradley today, God. Hallelujah. You know what they need, God, each individually. Hallelujah. Lord God, look on Rochelle today, God, and her family. Give us strength, God, in her body, Lord God, in her legs, Lord God. Touch them legs, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look on Cassie today, Lord God, and Sandy, God. Oh, God, we just giving you strength, Lord God, asking you for strength on today, Lord God, for Dean Boyd, Lord God. Bring her back, Lord God, to Chicago. Hallelujah. Lord God, you know what she needs, Lord God. Give her strength so she can make it back home, God. And then, God, just be with us on today, God, and everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio on this morning, where your host is the Dr. Maria Carey, and today was your co-host, the Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next Saturday. Dr. Carey will be back. Same time. Enjoy your day. Be safe. Wear your mask. And just have a wonderful day on purpose. In Jesus' name.